Yeah, but there's a right way of doing it.
There's a right way, but let me say to you that in all that has happened here,
there's a just way.
There is, you are put in a position to say to the government, I think this approach is not necessarily the best one. And it is left to them to hear you or to reject what you have said.
Yes,
and you've got that opportunity since this matter is not yet completely finalized.
But let me partly say to you, you see, if you have a government who is going ahead and doing things and then after they've been done, then going to say they can change the law then afterwards, and they are pressing it and they are obstinate in their ways, what do you
would you say that has been the case here? This government began with a concept of forced savings. People said we don't like that. It then came with the concept of a meeting turn.
Mm-hmm.
The government then went and sat down with other people, the private sector, the trade union movement, and came up with this concept. I suspect they might believe that it was a boss move, and they like that term. All right? But at the end of the day, it is, we've identified that element, which we think may put them under some pressure, where people are being asked to opt in or out after the fact, in a sense. But they are being given a chance to make a choice one way or the other.
But there are weaknesses in that is being pointed out.
This is the same point that we were making earlier.
But therefore, the people has to have a say. You cannot just go and put things on people like that and then say.
But the people have a say. Who says they don't? I told you the unions and the government are meeting tomorrow and Wednesday. You right now having your say. We had Mr. Franklin come on the program and for a considerable length of it. He gave his view as well. People have a say in different ways.
I want to say to Mr. Franklin, I appreciate him very much because he highlights a lot of things that we out here didn't know or wouldn't know if he weren't as vigilant as he is. And fearless. And I really appreciate him. I don't mind the man you call Talboy who comes and tries to be critical of him. You see, they have their own agenda. And I'll tell you, now, nobody in Barbados would have known anything about the Commissioner of Police and all that if he didn't point out. And I appreciate this. And I'll tell you this. You see, when I tell you how government going to do things, look, even then, our leader told us that there was nothing wrong, everything was in place. And you know, I believe you read it, where the Germany newspaper who wrote the edit on, you think, Sad or so, Mr. Aileen, who pointed out when he talked about Biggs and so on, and he said, even now with this thing that they're talking about the Commissioner of Police, he said, when he checked it, it has not even been on any other paper.
Somebody wants to know, where was your voice when we got the 8% cut?
It is here now. The people.
Why are you there? Let me ask you.
Hold on.
No. They didn't ask about the people. Because, you know, when I became aware of your voice.
It's very terrible, people.
It was very much at the height of that when you were highly supportive of the Sandiford administration back then. Where was your voice then? What has caused you to change your tune now?
Here it is. If you're going to do something, you change the law, and that will happen.
That's the question I put to you.
I'm saying this to you. That when you are dealing with people, people have a right. And as soon as
You didn't say so then?
Hey, I ain't dealing with then. I'm dealing with now.
You are inconsistent.
I am consistent.
Inconsistent.
Let me ask you something. You want to equate now. The people, the sufferings of people know after the fire, the slaughtering, the tax.
When the people were marching twice, you were out there supporting the administration and saying why it was absolutely necessary to do it to save the country. You told me that.
All I'm saying to you is this, right? That if you can do it, you have got to don't try to undermine people. And if you're
man,
do it,
you can't have no credibility from with me if you can't answer that question.
You know, I have no credibility because I'm not going to allow you to manipulate me like how they
manipulate. No, I'll put psychological pressure on you.
It's not going to happen.
Yes, of course.
It's not going to happen.
Have a good day. You do have a good day. Somebody wrote here that the last caller is as inconsistent as the Prime Minister. So this is what they say, you know. This piece that has been floating around on social media, when as the MP for St. Michael North East in the House of Assembly on a constitutional amendment to protect salaries of public workers in February of 1995, the Prime Minister, who was then MP only, said under no circumstances, well, she might have been a minister in the government at the time, but she said under no circumstances do we believe as a political party and as a government that a government must use the right to cut its civil servant salaries as a method of economic management in this country. Now, while she says that, here is this person who says, I am a public servant and my voice is fairly distinct, so I'm frightened to call the program. David Ellis, what the government has expressed as optional is like a man placing you in a car without you asking him to do so, and then tell you that you are free to jump out at any time when the car comes to a stop. If this thing is optional, why then must I write a ministry to tell them that I want all of my salary in legal tender? Then the government never changed their stance on forced savings, only what they named it. So that is another view on the matter. And as it relates to what's happening in the United States, I asked for some feedback from Barbadians living abroad. This region has been living in the United States as a permanent resident and citizen for 38 years. He said he served 20 years in the military. He was supposed to be coming home this year. His house in St. Philip would have been finished had it not been for COVID. He said, I live in a small town in Pennsylvania. The demonstrations just reached us this week. Central Pennsylvania, where I live, is like Trump redneck country. I was a victim of police brutality on two separate occasions. As he said, he'd served in the U.S. military, and more specifically, he said he served in the Middle East. And I will tell you, with all honesty, that I am more afraid of the police in this country than I am of ISIS, that is the police in the United States. He says, I have a handwritten poster in the rear window of my car that says I can't breathe. We have to stand for civil and human rights or be executed in the streets by a policeman, most of whom are ex-military or neo-Nazi white supremacists. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Mr. Ellis.
Yes.
I can remember way back in 1991, I believe it was. You can either like it or lump it. There was something called a triple whammy, a cut in salaries, a cut in severance pay, and a cut in unemployment benefits.
I mean, that may be so. That's definitely so. But let me ask you, when you look at what the current Prime Minister says back in 1995, isn't there an inconsistency as some people see it? She says this isn't a cut, but others, when they look at it, say essentially when you're taking home less pay, and if you put me in a situation where at a certain point I am just automatically put in this situation where I am given bonds and then I have to say no, count me out, then that's not right.
I agree with that. I was just checking on your last guest, who seemed to forget, who seemed not to.
No, he remembered. That's where he ran away.
Historical analysis. I thought that he was a very, very, very not upfront as far as that was concerned. And let me tell you, one had the opportunity to be around the table at that time and I can remember when bonds were put on the table. I can remember when we had the late Blackmun, the late Franklin, and then in came Sir Lloyd. And the thing was then a fait accompli where it was said that the unions did vote, that members of the profession did vote, and the vote was unanimous. Then one never saw the results of the vote. I was not around the table to determine how the votes went.
Yeah, but there's the reality, though, is that no matter who's running Barbados, you can find yourself in a situation, a real crisis, that demands something that's different.
A different, yeah.
Right.
I mean, I could understand that. And to harp on what was the job cut or what is, you could only, as I said before in this program, you could only discuss what finally comes to you. There were suggestions that maybe call that, we call this. No, we know for sure. Because documents have been issued, you see, we've got one in your hand, that is now saying is a program called BOSS. So now you can discuss BOSS in its perspective. One is saying that you should not, if you're going to be offered, it might be better to say, if it's optional, let me opt at the beginning or opt out at the end. I like the way how the teachers union is working with it. The teachers union say, look, we have Mr. Greenwich come and talk to us on a Zoom, and then we get a Zoom among ourselves to determine what is going to happen, what our position is on the whole question and matter. Somebody sitting down does not necessarily mean that because the based on the opposition leader, it does not necessarily mean because the prime minister might be in an audience that you have to agree with what she is going to say. I believe that she and Mr. Greenwich probably are going to try to explain to those public servants what the position is. But when it ends up, the union has the right to come in and determine from their membership what they want to do. I remember that very well as a member of a leader of a union. And I agree with Mr. Franklin too, that, you know, it's too often that presidents, and I didn't do that when I was a president, that come out and speak all the time. Just the role of the general secretary. We just conduct meetings. And I think that the unions would have to come out eventually when they hear what all the plans are, when everybody digests whatever is going to be said, and make their decision then whether or not they want bonds at 5%, or they want if they have any savings and they put it in the bank on a regular basis to get it at 0.1% or whatever that percentage is. So those are things you have to look at, and I think that what we have to do is to leave it in the hands of the union. I heard one union leader said that it is good that they had the discussions around the table because they were able to put a perspective that the unions could well agree with before they even went to their own union and make their comments. Because I know that you should take back whatever information you have back to your union and let your union discuss it. So I believe that the NUPW and the other unions will eventually, after they heard what they have to hear, will get out there and have meetings with their members to determine between now and the 30th of July, the 30th of this month, whether or not they will accept, reject, or what will have to happen from there on in. But this is not a cut, but I mean, a cut by any other name is still called a cut. It still bleeds.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. Dr. Brastatz, welcome to the program.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Hi.
I want to speak on 2 points. One, I want to reference what's going on in the States with the protests, and I also want to speak on about the BOSS program. Just to ask a few questions about it. When it comes to rejecting if you want to reject the offer, how is it done? Do you fill out a form at the end of the month, or is it a word of mouth thing? How is that done?
I think you convey information to the authorities. I think most likely we'll have to do that in writing to indicate to them what your preference is. I have to look specifically for what they said here on how you will be able to do it.
And if see, I think it's going on for 18 months, so you have to do that every month? Every month before the pay is that day?
From what I gather.
So you got to do it on a monthly basis. So that's a little errand you got there. And because I believe it might be useful to do it one time. I say, well, I don't want it, period. And over the 18 months, you don't have to go and issue a letter every time.
Well, I don't know. To me, it would be easy to do it that way, and I have to take guidance from them as to, you know, exactly whether there's that degree of flexibility on it.
Right. I find, too, a lot of the times that the matter is being discussed, especially when Greenidge was speaking, is explaining the value of bonds and so. But the discussion to me is not that, because everybody knows the benefit of bonds. So I don't see the need to constantly tell us that the bond is good.
It's the process. You're interested in the process.
Yeah, just the process, because we know the benefit of bonds already. Bonds are nothing new. But a new term was introduced that I was trying to grapple with called economic space or something. I think there was mentioning something like that. The government needs economic space or something like that. So by putting a part of the money towards the bonds, there it would look as though their revenue, their monthly revenue, would be reduced. I don't know if that's what you mean by having...
I don't know if the revenue is the expenditure.
The expenditure, right, would be reduced. So on the books, it will look as though you are paying, say, 10% less than you normally would for the civil servant salary. So you look a little better. But I'm saying that since you have the option and you don't have to take it at any month, you could say no, then the government actually could have gotten more money, because it could have move it from 10% to 20% or 30%, and make that expenditure even look a little better. The other thing is, in your news item, I heard Mr. Joseph Hadley speaking about Ms. Motley's presence at the meeting this evening. And I'm wondering if there's validity in what he's saying, that her presence could actually intimidate members. If you think that there's a reasonable point that he is making.
I think that it depends. If she's just going there to sell the idea to them,
right,
you know, I don't see anything wrong with that. If she's going to be there at a point where they take a vote or something like that, because they will have questions about it, that she and Mr. Greenidge are in the best position to answer. I mean, so to my way of thinking, there is no harm in actually going and communicating with them directly. Now, if you are asking her to stay beyond that, if they're getting into voting and that sort of thing, there's a point at which you would expect that she is not going to be there, and she would be sensitive to that reality. I don't know, to push this to the level of intimidating the people by being there and that sort of thing, I'm not so sure that. I would have to see that play out to actually come to the conclusion that that's what it is.
Well, it may not be intimidation then, but it could be the other way around.
What's that?
Her popularity can draw them and help her to sell it a little better then.
Yeah, but right? So what would be wrong with that? I mean, these are grown people.
Well, okay.
You know? Are we saying here? You have a concept that you want to explain to people. People have their questions about it. Many of those questions have been asked here today and have been asked on the call-in program. So you create a forum where you get to the meat of the matter. And then at the end of that, people are in a position to say whether they feel it's good enough, whether it needs to be tweaked, because they are also in a position to say, look, this part of it I don't like. Can you go back to the drawing board with this aspect of it? I think it's a good concept in general, but I don't like this or I don't like that. How do we get to the point of just projecting it as though it is something that is just, it's scare tactics that you're trying to use? And
Well, okay. Point taken. But the other thing is then, which is similar, because I noticed that Mr. Greenidge was going to be at the meeting this evening with the BUT. And I was thinking that normally once the executive fully understands the concept, they are able to explain it to the members. And I'm thinking that maybe they don't fully understand it. That's why they're allowing the members to...
And that may be so. There may be elements of it that they need clarification on.
Right.
So
okay.
I think we need to be careful not to blow this thing out of proportion, because... while you have a possibility, depending upon how a leader actually addresses people, because you can go in there and take a very tough line, make it seem as though nobody else's opinion matters, give the impression that it is you like it or lump it, and come out of the meeting with more political bruises than when you went in.
Well,
you know, that can happen too. But yeah. If you're sensitive to the fact that you are before this body and that you need their support, then you're likely to handle it in a manner where people will not feel as though you are trying to ram something down their throats, that you are open to suggestions and ideas, you know, and that you are genuinely committed to doing something in the interest of the country and ultimately to create a win-win for the workers.
Yeah, fair enough. My other topic is to do with the matter in states with the protests. And I was thinking that our CARICOM community here should make a statement of either protest or support, moral support for its people in America or the diaspora in America and even around the globe. And I think they should make it as a collective voice so that all people would know that we are there with them, because I see you having some messages coming through too from people around the world talking about it, certainly in America. And I also recognize too, and this is the reason why I'm saying this too, because I also recognize during the COVID period, I don't know if you've seen videos of instances of black people being very treated very badly in China as well. You see anything like that, or you haven't?
Yes, I remember seeing it.
Yeah, and not a word was said about it. Now, I find that if white people were treated badly elsewhere, their governments and so usually intervene. They put out statements and things like that to show that they are supporting.
But African countries did that, though.
Yeah, but I'm saying that we in Barbados too could make. I mean, Caribbean, because CARICOM, because this is a big block too, and especially now that we were getting some recognition.
What are we going to say? That will not take us into the arena of being accused of interference.
Well, it's not a matter. But look, everybody is saying something, is speaking out and saying something, but we're not doing it as an individual. Like, the reason too, Mr. Ellis, remember that. Okay, we said we got a diaspora there. You remember that only last year, a St. Lucian man was shot by a white police officer too, you know. And I really, and truthfully, you were hearing nothing much talk about it in the Caribbean, but I'm saying that all CARICOM heads should really condemn this, at least condemn. It is not a big political statement that you would make. But I mean, especially...
I see this thing somewhat differently. I do not believe that what is emerging in the United States is about one incident alone. I think that the United States has a system that has worked against the interests of black people for years.
Right.
All right? The shootings that we have heard about are but a manifestation of what has developed in the United States. And in recent years, it would seem to me that there are some people who have been emboldened. Now, you can determine what has caused them to become more emboldened in this way. This one wasn't a shooting, but this was the woman in the park with the dog.
Yes, I know that too. Yeah.
And that behavior from that woman who tried to contrive all of this fear and all of that so that she could get the police to respond to the notion that an African-American was threatening her, said that she understood quite clearly what reaction she was likely to get from her police force to that idea.
Right.
And that is where America is today. America, and you know, I've gone back to the days of Sam Cooke and Sam Cooke's death, what Sam Cooke stood for, the extent to which many people only saw him as a crooner, but he was different. I've been back to look at the story of Hazel Scott a Trinidadian-born woman who did exceedingly well in the United States as an entertainer, one of the a child prodigy who played two pianos at one time and that sort of thing, who wore mink coats and had a chauffeur and all of that in her period, in her day, but who stood up and said, "I'm not going to perform in front of segregated crowds."
That is very good.
All right, but these stories are lost. You know, but she was brought down. She was brought down eventually by in that McCarthy era, when it was easy to label people who stood up as communists, and then their careers were finished, and they had to go and live in Paris and that sort of thing. So there's a long line of people who've been through a very tough time in the United States, and it ain't finished yet. One last point, I feel that they got really, really vexed when Barack Obama was elected on two occasions. And we are seeing a reaction from certain forces in America. Because remember, if you look at what's happening there right now, it's not only black people on the streets. Huh? There's a lot of white people on the streets too. So we are seeing a reaction, and it is very difficult, I am sure, for many of the Barbadians and West Indians that are living there. COVID ain't finished yet, and this thing has the potential to cause a further upsurge, a new upsurge in COVID cases because of all the proximity to each other and that sort of thing. So we'll see. We gotta go, sir. Thanks. Down to brass tacks, into the home stretch now. It is 1:49 going until 2 o'clock.
But let's good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Sir, I know it's quite late, but I want to just briefly touch two things, but mainly my subject is on the bond. But in regards to what is happening in the United States, I think the time is right now for an international response policy. You know, we talk about rates of this and that, for an international response against the injustices of the minorities.
How would that, what form would that response take?
No.
We would impose sanctions on America?
I would enjoy going through this with you, but that would take me away from America.
Yeah, but this is a significant point you make.
What I'm suggesting there at the moment, and I will come back to deal with that then, but I am talking about the international bodies that speak about the rights of this and the rights of that. And where we are at right now is where we are, in fact, we should be thinking at this time. And this time, given the uproar that's happening and the fire that is catching, this is the opportune time for all over the world to respond. I, too, as a Black Bajan, am in support of the protests. It must come to a head. Can I go on?
Yes, sure.
To the bonds? Now, in regards to the bonds, let me start by saying quickly that Barbados have always had a problem about the inability of my people to invent, to create, or to start new businesses. I suggest, sir, that we need to look back at the way in which we have been educating our people at the school system. You had a popular guy on the radio who said, I think he said his teacher or boss commanded him not to think. I think that philosophy teaches people to think and to reason. Now, the question of bonds that we're talking about now kind of asks me if something's wrong with me or if it's the way that my people think. Let me quickly highlight what I'm talking about. I remember when I used to work that the government offered some shares in BNB, and there were everybody who thought they should not have bought them. At the end, when they finally were sold to Trinidad, everybody complained. I want to say in brief that I thought it was a good offer, and I took up a poor fella, what money I had, I know I could spare, and I bought those first sets of bonds, and the returns were significant. Next thing about it is that I remember the time under the same government, under Owen Alpha, when Owen Alpha expressed concerns about Barbadians in the way in which we were quickly spending money that came into our hands. And then he said, look, I'll tell you what I do for you. If you can keep your money in the credit union for 3 or 5 years, I will allow you to claim it on your income tax. And people oppose that left and right. Sir, I took it up. You know why I took it up? Because one, every year, I claim maximum amount of savings in the credit union on my income tax. Then that money had accumulated, let's say it was $5,000, not the right figure. When the government came again and tell me, my friend, you cannot claim again on that one time, wait it off and get that, and you can get back and I allowed to do it. Wow, that's twice. Then again, I was going to get the interest from being in the credit union at the same time. Yet my Barbadians tell me that something was wrong with it. Sir, something must be wrong with my head.
So how do you, where do you stand on the bonds now then?
I'm coming to that. Wait, no, sir, next point, immediately. No, I think, sir, that the times in which we are in calls for creative thinking, and nobody can deny that we have a problem with the economy. And I applaud Ms. Prime Minister for this creative initiative that she has. Now, as I see it, which is easiest? The government come and ask everybody, I'm going to send around some papers, option forms, and if you want, sign up. Or the government say, I tell you what we do. We can send it everybody, but then give you the option to sign off. To me, sir, it is neither. Whoever comes first, it makes no difference whatsoever. But when you look at the interest, my friend, I mean, we don't have a debate, and the government is guaranteeing you that we can get back the money. Sir, something is wrong, definitely wrong, with the way in which my people are thinking. And in every instance, everybody have the option not to take the money. And what more I'm seeing that these bonds are, I said to my son, you know what? Another way we can see these bonds is as though, like, the government create, I invert another currency. You mean I can sell anytime I want? And I can sell it to who I want to? Come on, people. I am embarrassed. I pause, sir.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your contribution. I only got 4 more minutes here on the program, so I have to go to somebody else. Thank you. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, welcome.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yes.
I want to touch on, well, I don't have much time, so briefly, mm-hmm. one or two things. The CD, same protest in America, I support it too.
Yeah.
Because what I don't support is the indiscriminate burning of, you know, businesses and so on, but too long blacks and me putting up with white people doing crap to them. It's time it stop. You understand me? So I ain't got a problem with the protest. And then you see they had some drive-by shootings, the rednecks driving by, and probably Trump supported driving by and shooting the crowd and killing some of the blacks that protesting. Yeah, so they got a DVD case. And I think they should keep on persisting and escalate it too. Moving on from that, this Capital Works program that was mentioned briefly on Brass Tacks today, they're not doing a good job, Mr. Ellis. I don't know if you know that driving around. Those at the bush, they don't do a complete job. And before you can blink your eyes good, the thing's growing back. If they're doing a job, make it look like it's complete. Move along again still. You see the, what it is with the Bajans coming, all right, move from that here. What do you think about people who have these nice big lawns, Mr. Ellis, and not even a banana tree plant in the corner?
Well, I think you're noticing that a number of people are rethinking that, though, you know, this COVID period.
But not on a large scale.
Well, you know, bit by bit, each small one, when you pull them together collectively, it matters, you know. And what you have to look at is, you know, what effect is that likely also to have on the farmers? I mean, a lot of what the farmers are producing are sold to Barbadians who don't do that. So once you increase...
Farmers go and make money too, still.
Right.
But sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, you were saying you think that too many Barbadians are not into that, but people, you know.
Well, no, don't get me wrong. Lawns is nice. I like a nice lawn, you know. You put a chair and you relax, but you can still have the lawns, but in the perimeter, you could put a banana tree. Like right now, I have sweet peppers and tomatoes growing between my normal plants. So I love plants right through. You understand me? Mm-hmm. So, you know, people, I dare say, I'll just concrete right around the place. Not even a little plant in a pot. It's ridiculous. I'm going to finish with this. They see they're going to either ease any restrictions, Beijing's. Don't mess up. Because if you're going to do crap, first you're putting yourself in danger and the government, second wave or the same corona or third wave, whatever you call it. As you mentioned, what's going to happen in the States, they'll be protesting. But anywho, Beijing's, please, don't mess up. And the businesses, some of them, Mr. Ellis, ain't got the hand sanitizers when you enter.
Yeah,
you understand me? So a lot of things need to be dealt with.
All right, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. And thanks to all of you who were part of today's program. Thanks to Caswell Franklin for sharing some of his time with us in the earlier part of the program, and to Michelle Brathwaite, the technical operator and producer. I'm David Ellis.